Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yeah, it's a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the Delhi country for us. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Otherwise, you can text the brother 0457140550 and check out our Facebook page as well. That's BBM 987 FM and also our webpage. And you can see all the goings on through the webpage and see our podcast there as well, especially for National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Quickly announced, the Prime Minister's announced announces ban on all overseas travel, indoor gatherings of more than 100 people, and outdoor gatherings no more than 500 people. So we live in uncharted waters, so to speak, and what's happening in the regard of the world today. And you can do your bit by keeping 1.5 metres away from people, and no handshakes, and keeping yourself clean, and need to do what you need to do to protect you and your family. So we need to work it and get it together, you mob. So do what you need to do. All right, I'm going to catch up and have a yarn now with Professor Hugh Taylor, and that's Jacqueline Hugh Taylor, and she received the 2019 NHMRC Clinical Trials and Cohort Studies Award for the top-ranked application in the 2019 funding round at NHMRC's annual awards in Canberra. So congratulations there. I'm going to talk to her about the chronic kidney disease in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults, the EGFR. R3 cohort study, and we have Professor Hugh Taylor on the line now. Professor Hugh, good morning. How are you?
Trevor, I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, entomologist you are, and we're here to discuss what needs to be done to guarantee equity when it comes to the eye health beyond 2020. Is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, we've been working for the last 6 or 8 years on trying to close the gap for vision, and we've made really good progress there.
Good.
But the Commonwealth and the state premiers under COAG have made the commitment to eliminate avoidable blindness from the Indigenous communities by 2025. And that's how to get them absolutely top-quality eye care and vision for the whole of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population, which is fantastic.
Which is fantastic. But you're also calling for further funding to meet the population-based needs and provide accessible, affordable services and equity in eye care. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've really been concerned to look to make sure that there's not just, you know, an occasional visit here and there, but there are actually enough visits and resources to meet the real needs of First Nations people for eye care. And the government's done a lot to improve that. The number of eye exams has increased more than 3 times, but we still need it to increase about another 25% more to meet the real needs. And so there are things like that where we still need about another $11 million a year in Commonwealth funding to get the full eye services out to everybody. It's trivial in comparison with all the other areas the government spends money on, but we still need to get that additional funding.
Of course. And of course, as I mentioned at the top of the program in the intro, in regarding what's happening at the moment, the space we're living in, the climate we're living in regarding the COVID-19 virus, we're talking figures, we're talking here, and work that's been done in this area regarding our people and regarding eye health was well before the COVID-19 came along, of course.
That's right. But one of the things we've been working quite hard in the outback areas on trying to eliminate trachoma, this blinding eye infection. And the key there is to make sure all the kids keep their faces clean. And you can wash your hands without washing your face, but you can't wash your face without washing your hands. So this time with the coronavirus outbreak and all that, it's even more important to emphasise good hygiene and make sure that everybody's keeping clean to stop the spread of infection.
Yeah, fantastic. Good advice there. Thank you very much, Doctor. Very informative, and we're working in that space and hope the government's hearing us regarding helping our mob in regard to eye health. Thank you very much, Professor Hugh Taylor.
Yes, sir, Trevor. Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
That's Professor Hugh Taylor, ophthalmologist, and he's on. Well, he's discussing what needs to be done and to guarantee equity when it comes to eye health beyond 2020, the close the gap for vision by 2020. The gap and beyond national conference was supposed to be held in Adelaide, South Australia, but was cancelled due to the COVID-19 virus. But there's the further calling and funding needed to be for the population-based needs and provide accessible, affordable service and equity in eye care. And that's what Professor Taylor was pushing for the government, looking at about $11 million and a space that's very important to our people. Well, we're talking vision, aren't we? And it is 2020, and in regards to what's happening in this space at the moment on the globe, around the globe, COVID-19, the vision is not looking good in regarding the future and where we are. We're going to, like I said, through uncharted borders, and we all need to do our bit, as Professor Taylor mentioned, talking about eye health, but what they've always pushed and recommended regarding cleansiness and keeping yourself clean and what have you. Well, now it's just highlighted even more because of COVID-19. Look out to the conversation mob, Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And look, tell us what's happening with your mob and with your area. Talk about healthy living. There's a lot of stuff going on at the moment. I think people are going a bit crazy regarding toilet paper and all the shopping and what have you. And we probably need to slow down on that. And there's enough food to go around for everybody. So we need to add to the conversation. Please do so here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550. And otherwise, check it out on Facebook page as well. And that's BBM 987 FM. All right, taking it right through 12 noon Queensland time, so do add to the conversation. Now, the National Health and Medical Research Council has presented a Research Excellence Award to Associate Professor Jacqueline Hughes for her work to address the high rates of chronic kidney disease in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults. Menzies Schools of Health Research Associate Professor Hughes received the 2019 NHMRC Clinical Trials and Cohort Studies Award for the top-ranked application in the 2019 funding round and NHMRC's annual awards in Canberra. And the Associate Professor, Professor Hughes, is the Chief Investigator for the progression of chronic kidney disease in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults, the EGFR3 cohort study. And we do have Professor Jacqueline Hughes on the line now. Professor Jacqueline, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Good morning to your listeners.
And thank you for coming to the program. And first of all, congratulations on your award, your win there. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Well, the thing is, we do what we do in regard to our profession and our passion, and really not looking for any rewards or recognition, but it's good to get recognised, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is an award that you can't apply for, you can't be nominated for. They ranked all of the applications that went into for funding in the 2019 round in our category, and we just happened to be the top-ranked application, so pretty blown away. But we put in an excellent application because we need to do this work properly.
Sure.
And really thrilled that the NH and MRC recognised that.
Fantastic. So can you enlighten us and talk to us about the EGFR3 cohort study, please?
So the cohort study means that we've been following up a group of people over time, the same people following up each time. So this will be our third direct assessment of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults that we've seen in North Queensland, so that's particularly in the Thursday Island and Cairns area, in Central Australia, in the top end of the Northern Territory, and in the Kimberley and Goldfield regions of WA. So it covers, you know, pretty much half the continent, and there are 650 adults who participated in the study at baseline back in 2007 to 2011. And we've learnt a lot of information about kidney health and how kidney health changes over time with the two episodes that we've seen them before. Mm-hmm. And so we've asked NH and MRC for funding, and we've been awarded funding to do the third direct follow-up to find out over the long term, 10 years, what do we know about kidney function change in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? And if we learn about it, then we can actually understand what is the key things to improve health and make really big, significant changes to health outcomes.
So talking about walking a mile in someone's moccasins, that's exactly what you guys did.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not only the research team that has done this. This represents a significant partnership with communities. Mm-hmm. Community leaders who have been part of this work since the get-go, clinical service partners, you know, doctors and healthcare teams that are really passionate about delivering optimal care for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and the research team. So, you know, we've gotten a really extraordinary coalition.
Yes.
Committed to better health outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And if we don't have the evidence for it, we've got to go find that evidence for ourselves, and that's what the EGFR study is doing.
Fantastic. So I'd like to think that the First Nation health organisations are at the table with you, of course.
Yeah, so we're in those five regions across half of Australia, and obviously in the regions where we're working, that involves the Aboriginal community-controlled health sector as well. Yes. As government health organisations. And you know, we're really, really proud of our partnerships with community leaders as well. So not just service delivery partners, whether that be ARCHOs or government service providers, but actually leaders in community, the lived experience of the impact of kidney disease for their families. And we know how to look after dialysis and transplant now, mm-hmm. but the real thing that we need to do is about tackling kidney disease, which for many people doesn't have symptoms. And this is the real value about what this work can do in the next 5 years, by bringing everyone together, because we've been funded to bring all of those stakeholders together to really sure. understand the data that we're learning about to make those recommendations for change.
And look, Professor Jacqueline, it just shows that it takes a team effort, doesn't it? You know, you're virtually all in the same vehicle, heading in the same direction, looking at a common goal and getting it together, so to speak.
Yeah, but it also represents a big generational shift with the EGFR study as well.
Okay.
And a shift in the mindset about how we do the work. So this time round, we've got four chief investigators who are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So these are experts in the science, mm-hmm. expert in the research, expert in the healthcare, but they're also Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with that mindset of community first.
Yes.
And that's a significant difference to where we were 10 years ago. So we've been able to demonstrate that we've got an excellent and growing workforce of mob, leading mob work.
Good.
For mob.
Well, nothing beats black on black, doesn't it?
No way.
You know, and that's the best ingredient you could help in regarding closing gaps, and that's all facets of the so-called closing the gap. And you guys are doing your bit there, which is fantastic news.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Sharon. Once again, congratulations on your award there, Professor Jacqueline Hughes, and all the best to you and your deadly team and the cohort and the group of people are working with you, and we are getting it together there. Thank you very much.
And I'll just do a shout-out to my family in the Near West Torres Strait from Mubbiyarg and surrounding areas. Hope you're all doing well. I know it's a worrying time in the community at the moment as we think about that illness down south and how it might come into other places around Australia. But you mob all take care, hey?
Too deadly. All the best. Thank you, my sister. You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
A beautiful yarn there with Professor Jacqueline Hughes. And look, National Health and Medical Research Council has presented a Research Excellence Award to Associate Professor Jacqueline Hughes for her work to address the high rates of chronic kidney disease in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults. And Jacqueline has also the chief investigator of the EGFR3, which is based upon kidney health. So fantastic. Nothing beats black on black. And there's a deadly First Nation professor doing her job working with her mob. And how deadly is that? Have you say your mob, yarn up strong on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Want to hear what you've got to say and tell us what's happening. Let's talk safety, let's talk health, let's talk about looking after each other in this yucky climate we're living in at the moment with the COVID-19, the virus, and we need to keep safe and protect our elders as well. Have your say, mob, 1-800-422-416.
Right now while the mangoes are ripe, dusty red highway. I got this freedom blowing wind in my hair, soaking up the wild desert country. All my worries are gone, I don't care. Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Out at the place of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Magic Girl, Coloured Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana Strong, give the Murray a call, 1-800-422-416. And the Murray is the bally one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. So have your say, Yana Strong, and we're based at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up now with Sylvia. Good morning, my sister.
Kaya Kwab Kedalak Nunukut. All right, Kaya Kwab Kedala Nunukut.
Yes.
Greetings, good today to you all.
Beautiful. Good to hear your voice, my sister. How are you?
And you. I'm making sure that we keep very healthy.
Yes.
Keep our immune system strong so that we can cope with the flu and then these other things that are occurring, the corona. The corona, it's got an... you know what it's called better than I do. We're used to calling it coronavirus because that's what's been on the ABC News a lot.
Sure. COVID-19.
What I actually say for Trevor, it comes back to this conversation over and over again. And hopefully now, with the fires and the stock market crashing and the virus, that the people in positions of authority who've stolen our country from us and stolen the... rule game of how we should live in it, we'll start listening to our people and our culture and the wise knowledge from the past and care for this country properly the way in which they should do and take it into the schools.
For sure, exactly. We are talking about the
curriculum needs changing.
Yes.
The parrot learning that's occurring, the teach to the test, that only suits a very few proportion of children, the whole regurgitation of what they want in the examination. Children need to be active learners and participate in the knowledge themselves and make it have reason for them, make it something that they can think about, make it work for them, not just be obedient to what they're told to say and told to do.
Exactly. Put a bit of passion in the teaching, so to speak, you know, and something that that they can learn in future, but get their base as well regarding world culture is what we're talking, aren't we?
The way in which our culture always operated, you know, with the youth that they're targeting again now, the same old crackdown and authoritarian bullying approach that the police and the magistrates use, the authority of... Mm. In quotation marks, God, if you don't do as I tell you, I'll send you to hell, which people are taught, which is, it doesn't work. People need to have be involved in it. It has to be exciting. It has to be meaningful. And that's where the rites of passage that our ancestors had, all our children had, always, all the way through, like apprenticeships.
Mm. Yes, exactly.
So they could bring those into upper primary school. Bruce Pascoe's book should be in there, teaching people the knowledge of how to care for the land. And that's immune health. Everything our people had in the past was holistic health.
We were the healthiest race living before time.
Absolutely.
Of course we were, yes.
We're lucky we still got that knowledge because it's a gift to us and it's a gift to the world. But why they don't engage, this is the invading regime, the people in positions of authority who slander our people in the media, bully our people at schools. You know, why the system, this conversation commenced before you were born and before I was born.
Mm.
So why they aren't engaging with the knowledge, to make the education system a part of the community. It's closed for what? They have holidays. It closes at 4 o'clock. It should be part of the community for 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Mm.
It could be part of the... It's a huge resource that's not used fully.
Sure, exactly.
And it could be. You know, if it had proper apprenticeship, when you're cooking at home with your children, they share the cooking with you. When you're cleaning the house, they share the cleaning with you. So it's the same with everything else, carpentry and art. It should be, everything should be action, activities, and engage multicultural people, Aboriginal people, bringing all the knowledge into the classroom, and that's where the assessments come. Have the children involved in the assessments.
Yeah, well, you're talking about education, and you're talking about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, we are students for life, are we not?
Absolutely, Trevor. Absolutely. Mm. I learn from you every day on the radio.
And me off you.
You remind me of things I forget.
Yes, that's fantastic.
You know, it's all around me. You know, out of the words of children, isn't it over and over again, out of the words of children? You know, I remember doing one lesson which was using a cast. Udjuri Noongar poem, No More Boomerang, and now Kalabar instead. And with the feedback from the children, this is like upper primary school, and it woke me up because the young boy thought Kalabar meant a coloured tabletop.
Mm, yes.
You know, and that's where the discussion and the other children told the noisy children off because they loved the lesson.
Well, exactly. They want to learn too. Exactly. Hey, look, very good conversation. I've got to move on, Sylvia. Thank you for your call. That's Sylvia calling from WA and a regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Love her input. The daily number here is 1-800-422-416. So give me a call on that daily number. Otherwise, you can text me 0457-140-550. I'm your host for the daily program, National Talk Black. Trevor Timms, the name. Murray from the Curry, Baldy one here, and live here from the First Nation Radio Station here here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. So I'm talking about we are students for life. Well, check this out. 18 First Nations people have received their qualifications in what CQ University says it's the first graduation ceremony to be held in a remote Indigenous community. The group from Woorabinda in central Queensland received their Certificate 1 in Conservation and Land Management. The university said the students were the largest Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cohort to have graduated from CQU. Students constructed the cultural significant Taru Woorabinda Memorial Walkway for the practical component of the course. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Adrian Miller and CQ University Pro Vice Chancellor, Indigenous Engagement and BHP Chair of Indigenous Engagement. On the line, Professor Adrian Miller. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm very good. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, I'm a Jedibole people from North Queensland, just around Tully and west of Tully. That's my grandfather's country there, around Ravenshoe.
Yes, beautiful, fantastic. And look, congratulations on what has been achieved. 18 First Nations people who received the qualification through CQ University and on country. Fantastic, brother.
Yeah, look, it's just such an amazing and emotional, successful story for the community, I think. You know, it's amazing that, you know, I was sitting on stage with the graduation, all the people from the university, and we were...
Probably with a big smile on your doll too there, Adrian.
Biggest smile, brother. I was just so proud to see grassroots people walking that stage.
No, fantastic, brother. And you know what? Success breeds success, and that inspires other brothers and sisters, especially young ones. Man, if Uncle can do it, I can do it too.
Well, that's what we're hoping. And look, we're going to follow up with those 18 graduates and see how we can continue to support them in their studies and future sort of aspirations in their careers.
No, fantastic. And what's some of the feedback that you got from the students who did qualify?
Yeah, look, really positive. I mean, you know, one brother was saying, you know, his hourly rate went up immediately as soon as he got his qualification. And, you know, he says he was sick of cleaning toilets and now he's doing stuff for the community. Now,
Loan there. No, that's fantastic, brother. And so what about some of the other students?
Yeah, look, we're going to follow up with them and you know, they were really excited. By the opportunity, you can see that their faces were a bit, you know, sort of, you know, shy about the whole process. But afterwards, they were just glowing. You know, it was just so. Yeah. And elders in went straight up to my vice chancellor and said, "Look, this needs to happen more often, and we're considering how we might do that more often."
Exactly.
But you know, it was a result of the flooding that happened. That we couldn't get the graduates to an official graduation ceremony at Emerald, and then we were cut off by the flood.
It was meant to be. The ancestors have spoken.
That's exactly what I said, yeah. I said the ancestors were saying, you know, they need to be home
on country. Exactly.
That's it.
To Dilly, my brother. Look, it's so powerful, and look, we need more black successes out there, and no matter what field, and we're not only talking football field, so we're talking indie universities, and I think it's fantastic, and you're leading the way there, my brother, and a big shout-out to all the mob there, and thank you very much for sharing.
Well, thank you for your time too, bro.
You take care, Adrian. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, to Delhi. Professor Adrian Miller, CQ University Pro Vice Chancellor, Indigenous Engagement and BHP Chair of Indigenous Engagement. And we're just talking about the 18 First Nations people who received their qualifications in what CQ University says it's the first graduation ceremony to be held in a remote Indigenous community. But apparently they were cut off and they couldn't get to Emerald. So, like I said, the answers have spoken. They need to be have received their graduation on country. And it happened. So... Too Deadly. Yes, the ancestors are working behind the scenes, and they're also talking about working with your mob to being healthy and being safe in regard to the climate that we're living in with this COVID-19. Keep clean, your mob, and look after our young ones, especially our elders. And there's a message going here as well, going out from the Angadara Aboriginal Corporation, from Laura Media Statement, a coronavirus epidemic. This is going back early March during this time of uncertainty. dignity and health well-being of our elderly and vulnerable stakeholders, families and the wider community take priority over all else. It is with deep regret that the Angangarra Aboriginal Corporation announces the cancellation of the Laura Quinquin Dance Festival scheduled for 3rd to 5th of July 2020. It has been cancelled. This action has been taken with the recent announcement by the federal, state, territory governments to halt all mass gatherings of people at large community events throughout Australia due to the coronavirus epidemic. Angangarra would like to thank our government, grant providers, partners, stakeholders and the many people who were considering attending the festival. People who have purchased tickets will be fully refunded along with the any vendors who have paid. Angangarra Corporation looks forward to delivering the festival and hopes our current government, grant providers, sponsors and supporters stay on the journey with us and prepare for July 2021. And that's from John Ross, Chairman of the Board, and August Stevens, CEO. It's a message going out there. And so sad that's happening, a snowball effect around the country in all industries and all facets, you know. Things are on hold also with the NRL and the AFL. So, look, watch this space, stay tuned. But it's not all about sports, about health and safety for all peoples. So do add to the conversation. Tell us what your thoughts are. 1-800-422-416.
G'day, folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
That make a guitar talk. My memories, Noel and Val McGrath with their from their album My Land, and this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Have your say, please. 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text me 045-714-0550. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, housed at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. All right, Jamal, we're going to catch up with the boys in blue now. We've got Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, Cousin Rob Hollingsworth, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, with their little program called Which Way Yarning. Nice little segment, and proudly sponsored by Piconi. That's IGA at Brinsmead in Edmonton, and they give us a box of fruit here once a week and for our school-based traineeships and talking about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And that's what we're talking about in regard to the moment and the climate that we're living in COVID-19, keeping healthy, keeping clean, keeping fresh, your mob. But the topic here with the boys is family fights, and we know all about that. And we've got the two gentlemen here, Senior Sergeant Len Delay. Good morning, my brother.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
And Cousin Rob. Good morning, Rob.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, boys. Now, family fights, and look, we know all about that, but it's raising its ugly heads, and we just need to... Hey, so I always say, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Trev, we're just wanting to touch base in regards to some little issues that are going on. And, obviously we got this flu virus thing going on, but, the community also has other issues that we got to also contemplate at times. And
yes.
We just wanted to have a yarn about family fights today,
So youth can be easily stirred, long held animosities by writing inappropriate comments on social media, that sort of stuff. That
absolutely.
Social media is a good tool but could be a bad tool
It does. It gets used for the wrong reasons as well, you know. And the biggest problem with social media is what would appear to always be the truth. It can be easily manipulated. So, sometimes these children are involved with fights. They can post things that aren't true about someone.
Well, exactly.
Cause a lot of,
And it's defaming people and it's defamation, you know. I mean, some people go to jail for 25 years for that sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And that can create havoc, especially with family members. And as the topic we're talking here, family fights, and it can escalate inside the family unit, so to speak. Mm. It could carry on for years if we're not careful.
Yep, that's right. And I suppose that's where we ask for parents to filter through that. It's never it's hurtful to see your children being subjected to some of these social media posts, and but filter through that, have those conversations with your children to make them be aware that that what's being posted isn't the truth, and good people will see through that as well.
And if things are being constantly put on your social media thing, and you don't like that person or block it.
Block them out. Switch off. That's not exactly.
Don't go on with it.
Yes, exactly. And it's he say, she say, and all this sort of stuff. And it can cause havoc. And then we need to look at the adult side of it. If we're talking about kids are doing this stuff or young ones, then the adults should be talking to the other adults. The parents involved. Say, let's just squash it, and no more talking about this sort of stuff. Don't go putting that there on social media. Or let's meet and talk about it face to face. Whatever and have all the truth out on the table. But we need to stop it.
And the ones that are involved with posting fights on YouTubes or other social media, their families need to really probably pull them in the line as well.
Exactly.
So that's completely inappropriate. No one wants to post something online that's going to be there in 20 years' time when you could have made amends with these people. And there's a danger in that, because a lot of stuff that does get posted online is very difficult to pull down.
It turns into gossip, and it turns into then untruth, and then it turns back into, what about what you did last year, or whatever the case may be, then all ugly conversations.
It makes mediation really difficult, because even when mediation's successful, we can always then go back to that piece of footage on social media and relook at it, and it stirs back up those emotions.
Well, exactly, that too,
There's not much healing involved with relooking at an event over and over,
And some bad outcomes, I was just going to say, Rob. Mm-hmm. Some outcomes could come out of that, and some, physical outcomes, injuries is what I'm saying,
Definitely, and, you look at, you could possibly look at criminal charges, domestic violence orders, you've got to think about what's good for the future of generations.
Yes.
There's also, Trev, there's never any winners in most of these family fights.
Mm.
So, you know, mediation's always considered. We'd like to take that attempt here and there with mediation. You know, we try to help people mediate certain stuff out. But, sure. You know, if that mediation, you know, comes to a halt or something, Trev, you know, the police can only do so much here and there. You know, we have a go at it, and it's putting it back on the responsibility of the people in the community too, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're talking family fights here, and what comes to my mind, raises up, is it's a deadly head, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Blood's thicker than water, supposedly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's respect the, yeah, if so-called the hierarchy, as in the grandparents or the great-grandfather from that family, be rolling in their graves, you know?
Yeah.
It's not supposed to happen.
Everyone's sort of proud, you know, we all have our own proudness of our own family,
yes.
You know, but we've got to think what's best for our family. You know, in that sense, and there's a process, if you're being harassed or being hazarded, there's a process to go and report it to police, you know.
Yeah, once it hits our police stations, you know, we will normally try and mediate before taking criminal action, you
sure.
know, and that should be our first point of call. But, you know, that olive leaf's extended for that period of time. You know, we do come into contact with circumstances quite frequently where people flirt with the idea of mediation but still hold that anger towards the other group.
Yeah, exactly.
And still wish for criminal proceedings to commence against the other people. And, you know, that can't happen with the mediation and criminal proceedings at the same time.
Then we're talking about the further down the track to when the so-called disagreement started, or an argument or a statement on social media, you know what I mean? It's not about being right, it's about doing what's right.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sort of stuff, you know? Because it could escalate.
With a lot of this too, Trevor, once again, it's a lot of hearsay.
Yeah.
People just hearing what someone else is saying instead of actually seeing it and hearing it themselves.
Well, exactly, yeah.
You know? And that's how gossip gets around, that's how rumours start.
Talking forked tongues, making little lies.
Yeah. And it's, you know, just trying to out to, you know...
put the other person down.
Yeah, keep the other person down and trying to put a status up, you know. And, I think we've got more important things to worry about.
Well, that's true too. If we're just talking about COVID-19, you know, the virus you mentioned earlier, Rob, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are more important things going on, you know. But the other thing is when you know that you know, it doesn't matter. That's my sort of concept. I mean, if somebody out there talking about me, well, good luck to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're talking about me, you're leaving somebody else alone. That's my attitude, you know?
Yeah.
I got big shoulders and I throw it in the bin. I don't carry it with me like
sticks
luggage.
Sticks and stones.
And I can talk from my family. You can always single out someone there that causes a lot of trouble.
Yep.
I wouldn't defend...
And who's that in your family?
No.
We won't go there.
And I wouldn't defend those people. You know, like, if they're cooking up storms all the time...
Yeah, you made your bed. You sleep in it.
You know, we value our families. We don't like to see
exactly.
that put down. But if it's the same person, it's always the same one that's stirring up these troubles, you know, whether they, you know, affected by alcohol or drugs or whatever the reason.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden we've got we're called to come and defend their indefensible.
And a lot of people who are listening at the moment, of course, are in a sober state. We're talking a Wednesday morning, you know. So if you've got something inside that's eating you, well, don't bring it to the surface when you're full of juice.
No, that's never a good time.
Not a good time.
No.
Exactly.
And some of these family fights become entertainment for others.
Well, that's the other thing too.
Fights being posted.
Especially neighbours across the road, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it only brings fuel and discontent between families, Trev. So,
yes.
And you can see that. You can see that when these fights, when they rise, the excitement in some people, you know, that they actually... it becomes an entertainment for them, and that's because they're not subjected to the hurt that's going on, you know. So two families fighting, but the crowd surrounding that family or that are onlooking, they're part of the problem as
they're
well.
They're part of the problem as well, exactly.
They need to not get so aroused by what's happening and you know, cool heads and try and minimise what's going on.
Well, we're talking social media, where it may start from, if not a argument in the car or across the dinner table or whatever the case may be, but then you've got the social media. But then you've got family members turning up in their cars, rocking up at their house there, and then the physical alterations start, and then that's when it then goes
out of control.
Out of control.
And that's right. And that's when we start looking at offences like a fray,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, we start to bring people into the court, which wouldn't have necessarily been there before, you know. And
exactly.
You know, so
sometimes that my understanding, there is an offence, a fray, you know, where it actually can help deal with people who are parties to the offence in relation to causing riots and stuff like that.
Okay.
Just my general understanding of it. I just want people to realise and understand out there, you know, if you stand around, Ergen fights on and all that stuff. And
doesn't help.
It you know, you could be liable to some type of offence against you, you know, for urging a riot. So
exactly.
That's just my understanding of it, Trev. And I just hope all the community members out there just listen in and understands that, you know.
Yeah, sure, exactly. So we just need to be careful by being in control of our actions and what we say, you know. Think before you speak and think before you act. That's what it's all about. If you look at the simplicity of life and communication, you know, and keep your ego intact and what have you, you know. I mean, if you're not in the pitch, I mean, if it's sad that you may lose a family member regarding a relationship, well, time will heal. Yeah, but the more you go deeper into the conversation or the argument or into physical or if not verbal or typing on so-called social media, it could escalate and could cut the relationship for life. You
that's
know what
right.
I mean?
It brings more people in.
And
the like you say, the argument can go generational then, and that's the sad part is when, you know, and we do have people in the community that are fighting been going on for many years.
Exactly.
And if you actually ask them what the initial problem was, what started this, they can't actually give you an answer.
And we're talking like a little spark.
Yeah.
We just had this country virtually full of bushfires, and that's what it could escalate to. Yeah. You know, it just builds on it, doesn't it?
That's right.
And it started for some little spark, some little mishap or some misunderstanding or statement, especially the young ones, you know. And we as adults, we need to
lead properly.
Lead properly and say, hey, stamp it, enough of that, you know what I mean? And them little ones making that yarn, and you're protecting your little one, but you need to stop it.
Strong community leaders, Trev, not strong fighters.
Well, exactly.
That fight will be in leadership.
Exactly. And not that I'm pushing for fights, but when you're talking about family members fighting, it's very silly because if someone from the outside stepped in, those family members come together.
And turn
towards the person who's not a family member. Yeah.
And we see that happen.
The blood thicker than water. So why even have the argument, family?
Yeah, and we see that happens with communities as well, you know. Like we can have a community and, you know, comes to mind Yarrabah, our community just out of here from Cairns. You go and watch families that are feuding cheer on the Seahawk football team. You know, they are one united Yarrabah.
That's the family. That's the connection right there. You know, that's the bloodline there. Yeah. Fly, good little fly.
So they do have that in common, you know. And that, I suppose in mediation, that's what we're looking for, that thing that the community has in common and try and bring them people together and put them back on track to go, you know, before this incident happened, we were...
During most mediations there... We find we come to a resolution, and it's the other hanger-oners that are the ones that are the...
Sure, looking for the entertainment, so to speak.
Looking for the entertainment.
Exactly, you know. And makes me think about our brothers and sisters up there at Arakoon and dramas that went on there, and some of our brothers and sisters moved out of their own community to keep safe, you know. And that's sad because you should be safe in your own community, you know, and that's what we're talking about here. So we need to stop the family fighting mob across this nation, and we need to get it together. And I say, check your ego, leave the egos at the door, and watch them young ones, especially what they're spinning out on social media, because that's a yucky tool.
Trevor, I just want to just say, and just with those parents, and if any of these kids get involved in fights, don't get caught up in it. You know, have a think about it, things. You know, you just don't know what's really happening, and we're all in it to support our families.
Sure, exactly.
But, you know, it makes you think too sometimes. So just be a bit, don't race in so quickly.
The parents are role models for their children, you
that's
know.
Right.
So if they react with physical violence, you know, with the other family, well, then the children will think that this is acceptable, this is how we solve our problems.
Well, it's a way of leading from the front, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as we get older, we're supposed to be more mature, should we not?
Strong leaders, not strong fighters.
And it does happen, you know, you see the wise person that comes in and they can bring those families together. And it's nice to see the younger ones realise that there's an alternative to physical violence to solve their problems.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of phrases I want to push out there before we finish, boys, is like treat people the way you want to be treated. you know, two wrongs don't make a right, and it takes two people to argue. I mean, look, if you look at those three little statements there, you can have a good deadly life.
That's right, Trent.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But my attitude, if you decide to do something, people are going to talk about you. If you decide not to do it, people are going to talk about you. Mm. So do it anyway, regarding your goals, your dreams, and live your life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're talking about me, like I said, you're leaving somebody else alone. It's about focusing on where you're going and what we're talking about or arguing about here at the moment. It may not matter in 5 years' time.
That's right.
Yeah. The biggest struggle and the hardest emotion, I always believe, is show that you're caring or you got love for somebody. It's easy to show that you're angry, you have a wrath, you're angry and you want to, yeah, that's the easiest emotion to show, anger. But that other one, forgiving and doing that, see how strong you are in that field.
Well, exactly, you know, I mean, like, Rob, your beautiful mother, my father, brother and sisters, you know, our beautiful grandmother, we are blood from there. You know what I mean? About 15 years ago, you borrowed my lawnmower. You still haven't returned it. But I haven't carried it, Rob,
you know?
Yeah, but I haven't carried it, you know. I let that lawnmower go.
That's what family, see?
That's what family's for.
Is that the one you hired out to me?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, making money off my lawnmower.
Edmonton Station lawn looks really nice, Trent.
It does. Hey, beautiful yarn. Thank you very much, Cousin Rob and Senior Sergeant Len Dalai. Which Way Yarning, fantastic segment. And to everybody out there, let's just keep safe and keep our tempers down and think before we speak and think before we act. A good conversation, my brothers. All the best to you.
Thanks,
boys.
Sheriff. Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you. Very good morning. A very deadly yarn there with the beautiful boys in blue. Well, they're in blue. They're not all that beautiful, but Rob may disagree. You think he's fine-looking, little lad. This is Which Way Yarning segment here on National Talk Black and proudly sponsored by Pocone IGA, Brinsmead in Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media, and a healthy living, healthy lifestyle is what we talk about here for our school-based traineeship. So Two Deadly Mob. That deadly number is 1-800-422-416, but Which Way? You may have to call me tomorrow. It's about to sign off here. Otherwise, 24-7, you can text the brother 0457-140-550, and otherwise check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 98.7 FM. All right, Two Deadly Mob, stay tuned. Got some more beats coming your way and news coming up here very soon.
She's a hard-working woman. Keep her happy home with a family to care for. She's standing on her own, and she's a hard loving woman, taking care of everyone. We all know that she's an angel, we all know she's number one. She's a hard-living woman, had to struggle all her life just to keep her family happy. Takes all her precious time. It's not.